Okay, we're holding with Siyata Dishmaya Mishlei Perchav Beis. Pasuk Yud Tes, we had just mentioned to last week how we interject in the middle of Perchav Beis with several consecutive psukim that, as the Vilna Gaon and others point out, seem to be inserted after Shlomo Melech already comprised Mishlei. They're putting it together to say, as we began already, and Pasuk et Zion, Hat Az Lecho Shema Divrei Chachamim, we're adding now an additional Ashor, an additional warning. Tilt your ear, listen to these sagacious words coming out of the mouth of the Chachamim. Take your heart and Ladati, as the Vilna Gaon and others pointing out, Ladat Oti, to know me, to get to know me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, and you have to listen to the Chachamim, the way they interpret the Torah. And as we mentioned last week, the words of Torah are all pleasant. You have to guard them in your innards. You have to guard them in your stomach the same way a pregnant mother guards that precious child growing within. And you're paying attention to that child all day long. So too, pay attention to the sweetness and the pleasant words of the Torah. Establish them always together on your lips. What will this do? Continuing on into this week's Pasuk, Lios Pashem, Amivta Checha. And all this will assist you in doing what? In allowing and enabling you to be with Hashem. What part of you? Miftachecha, your trust, your bitachon will always be with the Almighty. Hashlech al Hashem yaham chavui chakalach. As David HaMelech, his father, wrote in Tehillim, Nenechav Gimel, give all your worries over to the Eibishter, and he will sustain you, and he will support you. He mentioned many times, based on Rav Hirsch's concept of phonetic cognates, that words in Lashon HaKodesh that sound alike are so often interrelated. Writes Rav Moshe Wolfson, Parshas Kisavo, and as Amunas Hitacha, if you're always somech on Hashem, you're always leaning on Hashem, you'll always be besimcha. But if you feel ne'ezav, that Hashem has abandoned you, then you will always feel ne'ezav, in a state of sadness. Nothing's coincidental. You're somech on Hashem, you'll be besimcha. Smicha, in other words, even though one is with the samach, one is with the sin, nothing's coincidental. Hirsch says they're obviously interrelated. Be somech on Hashem, and that's why. What is somech? A smicha is a blanket that gives you comfort, gives you a sense of security. And that's the whole idea of to be somech. So too, you'll always be besimcha. But if you feel ne'ezav, either because you feel God abandoned you, or more appropriately, it's because we've abandoned God, as Sam Levinson already, the Jewish comedian, in his 1960s bestseller, Everything But Money, pointed out, anytime you feel yourself distanced from God, the first question you have to ask yourself is, who moved? God didn't go anywhere. We're the ones who moved from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what is Ra? As the Ramban points out in the Sefer Shaar Gemul, there's nothing inherently intrinsically evil in the world. Ra is merely our perception of being broken off and separated from the Almighty. The same way David uses it in Tehillim, in the book of Psalms, in chapter 2 and verse 9, to ro'eim b'shevet barzel, separate my enemies and break them apart with the steel rod. That is a teruah, when you break apart a tekiah. A ro'eh, a shepherd, collects the broken pieces of the flock. Nothing intrinsically evil. That is the idea of, we just feel separated and distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to take all our bitachon and give it over to Hashem. How do you do that? By studying his Torah, by getting to know his Ratzon. How do we know what Hashem wants? How do we know how to connect to him? Writes Rechaim Voloshiner in Shaar Dalet and Nefesh HaChayim, the best means of connection is through his Torah. Because how do you get to know someone? By hearing and understanding their Ratzon, getting to know their Pnimius. Person's going out on a date. How do you get to know one another? You speak from your Pnimius and you share your Ratzonos, your goals, your aspirations, your likes, your hobbies, your dislikes. You let the person know your ratzon. What's your ratzon? Happening to me? What makes you tick? So to Lahabdil Alfi Abdullah, Makaviyocha, how do you get to know God? Through his ratzon. He wrote a book. And the author wrote a book, and it's Torah, Harah. It's not simply the instruction manual, how to lead a life. God's writing an autobiography. This is my ratzon. This is the part of me that I want you to know. Study it, and you'll know me, and you'll know what my ratzonas are. And then you'll know to put your trust solely Bahashem, and of course, Midas Rachamim. Ayurke Vavke, know that Hashem is always with you, and put your trust always there. Hodaticha Yom Avata. Shlomo Melech now is conveying that I am making known to you these words, these ideas, Afalto, even you too, meaning what Rav Yona says. Shlomo says, how did I get to the highest levels of bitochen? I myself became a big baal bitochen because I studied the words of Torah. Shlomo, the Chochem Ikalono, he says, so just listen, I'm going to give it all over to you. And if we listen attentively to Shlomo Hat Aznecha, Ushma Dibre Chachamim, and then we can get to that Madrega Bitochen the same way Shlomo Melech himself did. I mentioned this past Shabbos morning in Shul, a Yesodistic, a very fundamental Orachayim HaKadosh. Orachayim HaKadosh, and we'll see we have another allusion to this past week's parsha in the ensuing verse, but Orachayim HaKadosh asked the Kasha, how in the world can Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu, Matitzake Light, Erobene Yisro V'Yisro? What are you screaming? What are you davening to me? Don't daven and just walk forward into the Yam. Ask the Orachayim HaKadosh, what do you mean don't daven? Davening is the key to everything. We always daven. What do you mean don't daven? And what do you mean tell them walk forward? There's a Yam in front of a formidable sea that hasn't yet split. Explains Orachayim HaKadosh, sometimes we just said din sholei. We all know that the Jews were not worthy inherently of the miracle of the splitting of the Reed Sea. They were a memta shari tumah. They weren't deserving of one of the greatest nes galuyos in the history of the world. There's only one thing that could bring about the miracles, even when you're not deserving of it, when you're not worthy of miracles. And what's that? Not even tefillah. And when you have some schus, tefillah could do it all. But if you have no schus, and midas hadin is sholeit, which means you're not in a natural parv state. You're in a state where you got your enemies who are catching up to you mighty quickly, and you've done a lot of averus throughout your years of slavery in Egypt, and you're deserving of getting punished. There's one way to circumvent all of that midas hadin, and that is, how do you circumvent midas hadin? God, I want to relate directly to you. And if I want to relate directly to you, what is that mandate? You have to display midas habitochen like never before. All right, Torah Chaim HaKodesh, how are you going to get the yam to split? I want you to just tell the Jewish people, just travel, just march ahead. It doesn't make any sense. The water didn't split yet. Show Hashem the bitochen. I'm going to run in. I'm going to jump in, even when it doesn't make any sense. I wanted to suggest years ago, and we have a medrash, a yalkut on Sefer Tehillim. And why did the yam split? Vayar hayam vayanos. Because it saw ro arono sho Yosef, the owner of Yosef Atzadik. Shinemar Olov Vayonas Hachutzo, and now the Yam saw the Oren of Yosef, so now it split itself. However, how do we reconcile that Medrash, that Yalkut, with the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in the Gemara in Sotah, Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph? Who's the first person to jump into the sea? Now Shemen Aminadav. So the sea split because one Jew was Moser Nefesh, and he jumped in, says, and now Shon Yosef, the art of Yosef, which was at the forefront. And when the answer, the chayr is, there's no stira, there's no contradiction. And what was the mida of Yosef Atzadik? He was the symbol, the symbol. Amida Sevitochan, even when he's hated by his brothers, thrown into a pit, eventually sold as a slave, makes his way down to Mitzrayim, is on his best behavior, and still, lo and behold, he finds himself in the depths of darkness, in the abyss of the pits underground in Mitzrayim, where they typically left you to rot and die. And he never let go of that bitochen, and he knew it's always Hashem. Everything is Hashem. When he came out and interpreted the dreams, it's not me, it's Hashem. Everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yosef gave Klai. So where did Nasha get this mita bitochen like the Orachayim to just jump in? He got it from Yosef. Even when things don't make sense, just do what God tells you to do, and you'll see miracles will occur. Look what happened to Yosef. It's on it. Ultimately, Nashim and Aminado, and writes Moshe David Vali, Talmud Chavar of the Ramchal. Why was his name Nachshon? Interesting type of name. Nachshon. Nowadays we have Nachshon after Nashim and Aminado. Nachshon is what? Named after the Nachash. Why would we name a Jew after the Nachash? Writes Moshe David Vali in his Pirush HaMegillah's Rus, because God orchestrates the Bria. Ze l'umas ze asolo kim. Kohelis chapter 7 verse 14. It's always a scale. Good versus evil. Emes versus sheker. Truth versus falsehood. We have the Nachash HaKadmoni who brought sheker, falsehood into the world. He got Adam and Chava to sin. How are we going to combat the Nachash? Well, think about it. What was the Eitzas HaNachash? How did he get Adam and Chava to sin? You don't have to listen to God. Don't be someone like God. You'll be your own God. Hayisokim, you'll be your own God. Eat from the Tzadas Tovara and you'll be wise just like God. You don't need to be samech on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what's Adam and Chava's main foible? What was their failing? Their failing was, I don't need God. I do it on my own. God created us, gave you a world, and said, this is what's on limits, this is what's off limits. Just go with my Seder Abriya, and everything will be fine. And now we know better than God. We're going to listen. We're going to make ourselves like gods. What's the tikkun? The tikkun writes in Moshe David Bali is Nachshon Ben Aminadab. Oh, it says, what? I'm so reliant on God, and that even when it makes no sense to jump into a yam that hasn't yet split, I'm going to do it anyway. That means I'm so reliant on the Almighty. I'm so putting my bitochon, my full-fledged trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when it doesn't make sense. You don't have to make sense of things. That's bitochon. You have trust in Him, even if it doesn't make sense. Lios Bashem, knowing. And that if you're so much, you'll always be Bashem. And notice, Naftamim Hashem. Bashem, together in Hashem's goodness, Hashem's midas harachamim. And that's where your trust will be. And Shlomo says, that's exactly what I want to teach you. Meila, adds Rashi, Ani modiyacha, Shlomo says to Klal Yisrael, if you have bitachon in Hashem and you study these pleasant words of Torah, you don't have to say, how can I take off time from my work? How am I going to earn a livelihood? You do what you need to do and you'll see God will take care of the rest. After my speech on Shabbos, somebody came over to me at the Kiddush, because after the Or Chaim HaKadosh, I also mentioned the Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar says that the whole idea of the man was also to test Klal Yisrael's bitachon. What was the man? Amon was just what you need for that day is going to fall. What's the test? Are you going to save and hoard it? Maybe, put it in your account. So I have for a rainy day, I have just in case it doesn't come tomorrow. Means you're questioning God. I know the same God that had it fall today can have it fall tomorrow. On Shabbos, I'll take my two portions on Erev Shabbos, and I know that there's going to be sufficient to last through Shabbos as well. And that's being Samech on Hashem. So the month itself was a test and be tough. Somebody told me at the Kiddush, true story, a dentist in our Kehilo, that he was having tough financial issues at work. And on Tuesday of last week, we know it was a big segula, I'm sure many of you said it, the Parsha Salmon from Mishalach, and the Tuesday, and the Kitov day, leading into Parsha Mishalach, is a big segula for Parnasa, to be Matzliach, and earning a livelihood to recite the Parsha Salmon. It appears in many Siddurim after Shacharis, and to recite in the Tuesday of the Parsha Mon appearing in the pages of Parsha Mishalach. He said he needed to make more money at the office. I got his wife and children together on Tuesday, and they all said Parsha Salmon together. For the first time, says he walked into the office that day, and he gets an insurance check from a company every week. He says their checks have never been more than $150. He gets it every week. And a certain insurance company, $150, no check has ever been more. And that Tuesday, he walked into the office, started his practice, and the mail came, and that same insurance company, a check came in that Tuesday for $613. And he's never gotten more than $150. Now, if he got $200, if he got even $750, that wouldn't be so geschmack. The first time in his life, he and his family together said, Parsha Salmon, a check that day. He didn't even have to wait. And for $613, this is unbelievable. That's how God works. And you say it, you believe. The test is, who believes it? The famous Meisen is a true story. There were David Kaplan writes, there was a bachur who needed money. He was mamish, totally, utterly destitute. He went to the kotel and he davened his heart out, cried tears after tears cascading down his face. And he cried, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need parnasa. I don't have any money. So what happened when he finished all those tehillim? He got a tap on the shoulder. There was an American at the hotel, a wealthy philanthropist. And he says, I saw those tears. It must be. He says, yeah. And he says, I don't have any money. I need money. So he gives him a huge check. A huge check. He comes back to the yeshiva and he tells all the guys. The next day, all the guys are not in yeshiva. And they open their heart out and they cry. And they come back and no American tapped them on the shoulder. Say, come back to Rosh Hashiva. They said, Rosh Hashiva, how come Yaakov got answered? We didn't get answered. Says, Yaakov went looking for God. Say, God answered him. He says, you guys went looking for that rich American. Who are you putting your bitachon in? Are you putting your bitachon in the rich American? Are you putting in a God? Lios Bashem Iftachecha. Don't put it in a human being. Al Tiftachu B'Nadivim. That's only what the bitachon, your boteach, your full fledged trust is Ach Barak and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shlomo says, I'm giving you the key. Afata, I want you to know the secret to his success. It's all because of the Midas HaBitachon.
Rabbi, could you clarify one more
Okay, so there are a number of different distinctions drawn between Ramban, between Achaz and Ish, many different broader distinctions. So just in the Pashup shot, Amunah is faith. Amunah is, I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Semi and Amen is Loshen Amunah. Amen is a Loshen of Ma'ames, the words of that bracha. Ma'ames, the words of the bracha. That means I believe in Hashem. I believe that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And do I now live my life that I trust Him? Amunah is, I believe in God. But do I trust Him that all the good, that all the bad, and no matter what, it's all coming from Him, and He's the one supporting me through it all? I just in the push-up shot of the words. Amunah is, I'm Ma'ames that there's a Borei Olam. I have faith that there's a creator of the world. Even though I don't see Him, I know He is there creating the world. Does that mean necessarily that I'm putting all my faith in that creator? And that's where Midas Bitachon demands. Trust Him. Trust Him to carry you through. Even if things are beyond your seichel, even if things don't make any sense, you rely on Him for total support. And that is the Bitachon, even when it doesn't make sense. Meaning what? Amunah could say, let's go to the Archaim HaKadosh. He doesn't, he highlights Bitochen. Amunah is, I believe that God could go ahead and do whatever He wants. With the Yamsef, He could do whatever He wants. Bitochen says, I'm going to go march. I'm so mech, I'm so reliant and trusting in that loving, benevolent God. And that even though it doesn't make any sense, I believe that if I walk ahead, God's going to split it the second I walk it. But,
and somebody once said, Bitochen is Amunah in practice.
Practice. I think Rabbi Shaya Cohn likes to say that very often. Bitachon is making it a reality. Right? So we spoke a little bit last week about Amunah Shleima, that Amunah Shleima is also an idea putting into practice, but that's also beautiful chiluk. So that's what it means to be somech on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malbim adds another nekuda, and the Malbim says, Lios Pashem Eftachacha is what? And you should hear the words of wisdom that emanate from the pleasant words of the Torah and the pleasant words of the Chachamim. But what? Trust in Hashem. And then even if you don't understand all the things that the Chachamim say, even if you don't understand the reasons for all the mitzvahs, do them anyway. Trust in Hashem even when it's bilti, move on. Even when you don't understand or fully appreciate the Chukim and the Ta'amim of all the mitzvahs and all the laws of the universe. Continuing on, we have an Alshech HaKadosh. And the Alshech HaKadosh is very fundamental. And that's just one last nekuda regarding this pasuk. And he says, what's this idea of Bitachon? And you have to trust, writes the Alshech HaKadosh, that one day Hashem is going to give you all the Torah. A person says, why should I learn? I can't grasp all that much. How much am I going to learn at the end of the day? There's so much after the vast sea of the Torah. Put your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hodaticha Yom of Atta, writes the Alshech HaKadosh, the same way Shlomo saying, that I'm teaching you also today things that you might have previously learned. One day Hashem will teach us all the things that we have previously learned. I mean, what? When we get to Yemos Mashiach, and ultimately to Olam Haba, God's going to give us all the Torah that we wanted, that we might not have learned and appreciated or even understood in this world. Same idea that Alshech says, and why do we have instances of Tchiyas HaMeisim throughout the Nevi'im? We know Eliyahu HaNavi did a Maisa Tchiyas HaMeisim. Elisha writes the Alshech HaKadosh, I don't ever lose faith in Tchiyas HaMeisim. Look how Hashem says, even in this world, I've endowed certain prophets with the ability to revive and resuscitate the dead. Let you know the Koach is out there. So to Shlomo is telling you, I'm teaching you things that you also learned one time before. Once you learn them before, needed Aflam and Abbeis, when we were growing in the stomach and the womb of our mothers, the Malachi, and taught us called Torah Kula, and then we forgot it. And the question, of course, is we forgot it, so what's the point? Many different explanations. One is acquired through a malus, through toil and diligence and studious efforts, as opposed to just getting it granted as a freebie from the Almighty. But the other pshat writes the Alshech that what? Hashem says, just like you one day had the whole Torah, I never get despondent, never sink into despair that you don't understand a shir, you don't understand a concept. There's so much out there in Torah you haven't learned. Hashem says, just like I gave it to you all at the beginning, one day I'm going to give it to you again. So that's the Alshech saying is another interpretation of this pasuk. Abi boteach and Hashem, and He will let you know the words of Torah, just as Shlomo is letting us today know things that we have previously learned. One day Hashem will teach you all the things you have previously learned, and that'll come at Olam Haba. In fact, there's a great story.
Clarity to understand
Yes, we will have utmost clarity. Now, there are some who say we only have clarity in those areas of Torah that we've dappled in this world. Meaning, if we haven't studied any part of that Torah in this world, we're not necessarily going to get it in the next world. But any part that we studied in this world, we're going to get the clarity in the next world. There's a true story. Rav Aaron Kotler, when he was Rosh Yeshiva in Kletsk in Europe, and he was saying a shir klali to the bachur, and he left off in the shir with the tzarchi, and he left off with the kasha, and he couldn't answer this difficult kasha. And he goes to sleep that night, and a gevira philanthropist who had supported the whole yeshiva, and he had passed away a couple weeks previous, he comes to him in a dream, and he answers his question. So Baron is in his spool, he's astounded in the dream. He says, Rav Yehuda, how'd you get all the Torah? He says, what do you mean, Rav Aaron? You told me if I support the yeshiva, I'm going to get all the Torah of all the Bachar and of the Rosh Hashiva. I'm going to get it all in the next world. He says, I knew you were going to get it, but I didn't think you could get it so fast. He says, no, they give it to you right away. As he got all this Torah. So Baron was so spoiled, came back to yeshiva the next day, and he shared with everybody the answer to this question. And he said, I got the answer from this. He wasn't a Talmid Chacham, but he got all the Torah, and he got it all in Shemayim. And I'm giving him the answers. The Bachar said, so Rebbe, why do we have to learn? Let's all go to work, and we'll support all the yeshivas, and we don't have to learn. We'll get it in the next world, he says. But then you don't have it in this world. Then you're missing out on Olam Hazeh. What about Olam Hazeh? The real joy in life, as learning Torah, as knowing what life is all about, as getting to the depths of Torah here in this world. Why wait for Olam Haba? Try and get it already now. And that's the Ashach HaKadosh. I'm a Nevada in the future. If we work on it, Hashem's going to go ahead and reveal to us all the hidden secrets of the Torah and give us utmost clarity, the same way we had it initially and when we were growing in the wombs of our mothers. Continuing in Pasuk Chaf. Hello, Kasavti Lecha. Shalishim. That's the Kree. We have the Ksiv and the Kree, and we'll get back to the Ksiv. Hello, Kasavti Lecha. I already, Shlomo speaking through the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, I've already written for you in my Torah. What Torah? What's it called? Shalishim. What Shalishim? A Shlish, writes Rashi, Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. We have many Midrashim about the number three. We have Gemara, and we have Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. We have Halacha, we have Agadato, and we have Lomdus. We have different parts of Torah. Torah is given Ayde Moshe Beno, three letters in his name. He's the third son of Amram and Yocheved. And the Torah was given on Sinai, the root of sin, Sin Yat Yud Nun. Also, in the third month of the year. And many correlations of the number three to Torah explains the Maral, because what is three? Three is if you only have two, then two lines can remain parallel and never connect, never be in a Sadr Lahadodi. They could go and always be parallel lines. The third line can always connect those two. Avram can be Chesed, Yitzchak Din. What connects those? Yaakov in the middle, and that's Midas Rachav in the Mizik, the synthesis when you merge and fuse the chesed of Avram with the din of Yitzchak. That's Midas Rachman. The Torah is called Midas Rachman. What is the Torah filled with? Chesed. The Torah, the Gemara says, it's out to 14a. It begins with chesed, it ends with chesed, and it's filled with dinim. Torah is chesed in it. It's called Rachmana. Yaakov is the Omen HaTorah, is the Isha Torah. Yaakov is the Isha Emes. Emes is when everything stims. You can have Emes. What's Emes? The first letter in the Aleph Beis all the way over here. The top, the last letter, and the Mem in the middle connects them all. And that is Emes when everything is connected. That's why Torah is given in three. It's given in the third month by the third child of Amram Yocheved, whose name consists of three letters. And he gives us Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim, all about the number three, the Chibur, that represents Emes. So, lo kesavti lecha shalishim, b'mo'etzes v'das, and I've given you all those words of Torah, with counsel, and with knowledge. Explains the Alshach, what's counsel? I've given you the Yud Gimel Midah Shaton Reshman, I've given you the principles through which you can deduce from the Torah. Meaning, I didn't just give you a written scroll and said, okay, guys, figure out what to do with it. I gave you a Kal v'chomer, Hekesh, Gezeira Shava. I gave you means of extrapolation, of biblical exegesis, how to do and make drashos of the pasuk. And I gave you the knowledge to know it and to conquer it and to figure out what to do with it. Hamela, that's where it all comes down to. I know my Torah, get to know my Torah. And now we have a Rashi. Rashi told us, Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, but Rashi was only addressing the Shalishim, the Lashon of Shlish. What about the contrast of Ksiv versus the Kri? So the word means, Shalishim is, the same way it's used, we had in this past week's parasha, Omivchar Shalishav Tubav Yamsuf, Machar Shalishav Tubav Yamsuf, the choice, the best officers of Paro drowned in the sea, it's representative of aristocracy, nobility. I gave you aristocratic words. I gave you noble and dignified words. I gave you the best of the best. This is the best document in the world, and it's replete with words of counsel, sage advice. Go to my Torah, stick with my Torah, and that'll be the secret that will get you through all of life. And now that you have it at your disposal, what can you then do with it? Chaf Aleph Lo Diacha Kosh Imrei Emes. This will teach you the truth, the veracity of words of truth. Now we'll have to distinguish between Kosh and Emes. Kosh is actually the Aramaic. The Kosh de Milsa means Lafiha Emes. We'll have to interpret why is that different than Emes. We'll get to that in a second. But what is the Torah doing? It's informing you of the truth and veracity of words of truth. Lahashiv, to enable and empower you to answer Amor Memes L'Shulchacha, to answer words and statements of truth to all those who send words to you. What's that all about? That means you could derive halacha, you can have Moshe Feinstein's, you can have Gedolei Yisrael who answered the Shilas knowing how to use the Torah, meaning it's not just a history book. It's not just a book of information, a book of truths. It's a book that tells you how to lead life and gives us the responses to all questions that come up. So while the nations of the world might have their priests or their elitist scholars that master their works, and this is something that's made there for the Hamonah, it's made there for every single person. You could study it, you can know it. And I've given such truth to these words that if you know it well and you know how to interpret it, and you can answer back to all those who seek your advice, to all those who ask you questions. In what sense? In the sense of Moshe Feinstein explains, and that a Talmud Chacham is greater than a Sefer Torah itself. Why? And because the Sefer Torah is giving you words of Emes. How do you know how to interpret those words of Emes? How do you know what to do with it? A Sefer Torah might talk about Shabbos, but how do you know which psukim of Shabbos do you use to say, can I use this on Shabbos? Is this muksa? Not muksa? Is this a violation of the halacha? Not a violation? You need the Chachamim who are given the power to interpret those words, knowing that it's happened to the Moetzos V'das, using the knowledge that I've bestowed upon them, using the words of counsel that jump off the pages and the methodologies of the biblical exegesis and interpretation, they can answer true words to anyone who sends them the Shilas, and they're even greater than the Sefer Torah itself. There's a famous Maisa of the Netziv. The Netziv is walking back in Voloshin carrying a Sefer Torah, and he fell on the floor with the Sefer Torah. And our Yitzhak Elijah, the Rashid at the time, gave a clap in the beam and said, and you pick up the Netziv before you pick up the Sefer Torah. Because this is a walking Sefer Torah. This is a living Sefer Torah. And that's even greater than the Sefer Torah itself. The son of Ramosha Shmuel Shapir, the Rashid Bar Yaakov, was dancing once at Simchas Torah, and he fell on the floor. But he had 2 seconds to position his body in such a way that he caught the Sefer Torah on him, and the Sefer Torah never came into contact with the floor, so nobody had to fast. So Chiluk Edeis in the postgame. He for sure, the one who dropped Sefer Torah, has to fast. According to many postgame, anyone who was in the room who saw the Sefer Torah fall would likewise have to fast. And it's a big discussion when if it only partially falls. Here, he caught it just in time and it landed on him. So everybody came over excited. They said, wow, now look at that save. He look at his chavir. He loves the Sefer Torah that he endangered himself. But he saved the Sefer Torah. He says, but what about him? What about the living Sefer Torah? How come nobody's worried that the living Sefer Torah fell on the floor? My son, he says, my son, the living Sefer Torah. You're all worried about the other Sefer Torah. He saved that, but who saved him? How come nobody had to save him? That's what he was worried about. So they know how to answer words of truth. They know how to master the Torah. That's why Moshe writes, you have to stand up for the Talmud Chacham even more than standing up for the Sefer Torah as well. Now, the Malbim understands two interpretations are given to Kosh. Kosh is the Aramaic equivalent of MS, but here we see MS is already used twice in the Pasuk. So wherein lies the difference? Writes the Malbim, Yish Hevdel, Abein Kosh Ubein MS. Emes says something is true. It was true. It always will be true. And it's unquestionably true. It stands alone as something that's true, even if we don't understand it. We can't explain it logically or rationally. It still is something that's a true statement. What is kosh? That's if the emes is geluya umuvoeres the kol. When we can manifest the truth and bring it out and disclose and reveal it to everybody and let you see the truth, and that is called kosht. So that's what Shlomo Melech's intent is over here. It says all the mashalim, all these parables that I'm giving, I'm letting you know what? I'm letting you know the kosht of Imrei Emes. You know that the words of Torah are true, but you know what? But you don't always understand them. Listen to my mashalim, and you know how to understand them. You know how to make sense of them. It'll be an Emes that will then be revealed, that will therefore be far more appreciated because you'll give meaning to it. And the idea being what? What does kosht sound like? Remember we said it's the American equivalent of Emes. What does it sound like? Kishutin. How many books in Tanakh are there? 24, Chazal say, corresponding to the 24 Kishutei Kala. A Kala, when she gets married in the Zman of Chazal, she would adorn herself with 24 pieces of jewelry, 24 different adornments. God says, I'm going to adorn myself with the words of Torah, will be the adornment, and that'll be Chav Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. What's the adornment? That when you can understand the truth, and you can learn it using the Yud Gimel Midos, and learning the Torah, with the counsel, with the das, and then you can appreciate Emre Yemes says, God, I know what you wrote is true. I don't know what in the world it means, but I know it's true, and I believe it's true. Lo diach ha-kosht, Emre Yemes almost says, listen to me, the Chochem Mikolodah, I'm giving you the Mishalim throughout, say, from Mishlei, and you'll now have a greater appreciation. You'll adorn the words of Emes with kishutim, with adornments. What are adornments? Things that you wear on the outside. That means the Emes was now revealed, went from the Chelek HaPnim to the Chelek HaChutz. It was revealed to the outside, just as the Kala adorns herself with the outside of the 24 Kishutim. And that's how you understand and appreciate the Torah, through listening to those words of wisdom. That is the Malbim's interpretation. Writes a verse as follows. Our verse says, what's going on in these two previous Pesukim is, it's very nice to learn the Torah, it's very nice to teach the Torah, but the real test and goal in life is to live the Torah. To allow the penetrating words of truth and veracity to sink in and become part and parcel of the human being, himself or herself. And that's what he wants with the kosht. What is the kosht? He says, starting with the previous pasuk, pasachav, Halo kesati lecha shalishim. And what is the shlish? The shlish one is the third one, meaning you have a melech, you have a king. You have a mission of the Melech, like Yosef, that's the second to the king, the viceroy, second in command, and that's his co-advisor. Then you have a shlish, the third one. His job is to transmit the king's order to the people, urging and supervising its implementation. Who makes it lemaisa? The shlish is the one to take the message from the co-advisor, the king, and now give it down to the people and make it become actualized, to allow it to materialize and be implemented. So writes of Hirsch as follows. The words of the Torah are compared to shalishim. They were not written merely for theoretical knowledge, but are the command bearers of God, delivering to us the commandments given by the Blessed Almighty. And he gave it to us with moitzos and das. He gave it to us with advice and knowledge, giving us a basis on which to shape our thoughts and feelings. The expression used here is not merely emes, the factual preciseness of things, about kosht. What is kosht? Meaning a claim to the ethical integrity of our character, derived from and founded upon truth. Once we have learned this, have absorbed within us kosht divrei emes, and allowed these words of Torah to become our shalish and the ruling principles of our thinking and desires, only then can we carry out the mission of those who send us to reach understanding and teach it to them, speaking words of truth. In essence, what is the first telling us? That the words of Torah act like the shlish, to take the words of MS and to make them kosht. Kosht is the moral and ethical implementation of those words of truth. Not just to know them in the theoretical and the world of the abstract, to bring them to the world of the concrete. We mentioned many times Dr. Spock, who taught us all about parenting, and that Sunday afternoon when kids were coming by, just as he was laying the wet cement and his new driveway, and kids came running along and putting their footprints in his wet pavement, a wet cement, and he started screaming at them and running after them and hitting them. And Mrs. Spock saw it all from the kitchen window and said, "Excuse me, Dr. Spock, aren't you the one who talks about how to parent the child?" He says, "Yes, that's in the world of the abstract, but not when they're in my concrete." It's very nice of her, says, Emre Yemes, I know the Torah's true. I'm living by it. Kosht is, and that's why it stems with the Malbim. Kosht is when I let the inside come out, meaning you could see it on me. You could see it on me, right, Shlomo Melech. You could see that the Kosht Emre Yemes is the adornment, and then I'm living by it. So the Malbim says the adornment means what? Means the understanding of the truth. Emre Yemes says, I know it's true even if I don't understand it. Kosht is using the forms of biblical exegesis. I can bring flavor and time to it. I can give a taste and rhyme and reason, and I can make it come alive. A Rav Hirsch says, more than the Malbim, not just to make it come alive and understand it theoretically, make it come alive l'maisa, in the world of the concrete, and make it be real. Let people see you and see you adorned by these words of Emre Yemes, and this way you'll be empowered to respond to people accordingly. Anyone who asks you things, how to live life, and you'll be able to tell them that it's been part and parcel of every fiber of your being in existence.
Does this kosher have anything to do with the kosher?
Not Kosht Emasar. That is a spice, but it could be certainly related. We have to know why that spice was called Kosht. That's a good insight. But in Aramaic, this is the it's synonymous with Emes. Yes.
You say Moshe was the third of three sons.
Not three sons. The third child to Amram and Kevin.
Right.
And Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe.
Who's the third son?
No. So we had Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. Moshe's name has three letters. Moshe is the third, and he gives us the Torah, which consists of three parts. So this was the interlude, and now we go back to continuing the train of thought. We left off with Pasuk Tezayin, Oshek Dal Harbas Lo, Anos and Asher Ach Lamasa. We talked about oppressing the hapless individual, the lowly individual, the unfortunate one, the destitute one. So now we interjected, and now we come back with what? Atik Zal Dal Ki Dalhu. Don't rob, don't steal from a poor person, as Rashi says, just because he's dal. You say what? He's more vulnerable. It's so easy to steal from a poor person. He doesn't have the security system set up. I said, don't go and victimize the less fortunate and the impoverished individual just because they're more vulnerable. Hashem says, if you're seeking to victimize someone who is very vulnerable, then I'm going to come after you. Val tadake, and don't oppress an ani bashar, a poor person, bashar in the courts, and don't take advantage of a poor person. Bashar is the metaphor because they used to have the Sanhedrin sit in the shar and the gate of the city, and that's where you would go to have dine Torah. Don't persecute the ani, even though he doesn't have as much money as the other litigant. Give the ani as much hashivus in your eyes as everybody else. Everyone has to be treated like equals. So we're really continuing the thought, which gives rise to why Dafka specifically, in between two psukim, talking about oppressing the Dal, that we have this whole interlude. But again, the way the Malbim and Rav Hirsch finished off, it's very good. And it's very nice to say, oh, I believe the Torah is true. Now, do you live by it? Everyone says, yeah, I believe all the Jews are equal. And what happens when you're presented by it? Do you really treat the Ani the same way when you treat the Asher? How many do we ingratiate to grovel in front of the wealthy individuals to gain favor in their eyes? Do we treat everybody the same? And that's what Hashem wants to know. Did you study my Torah and live by the Emre Yemes and answer everybody back with you? Did you make it a part of you? Can I see it on you? Do you live by these ideals? What tests them more than anything? Stealing really does. What Aveira do we mention more in the Vidui than any other Aveira? Different forms of stealing. Go to the Al-Khaits that we recite in Yom Kippur. And what do we find? We mention ideas, connotations of various forms of stealing more than anything else. Why? Because stealing breaks down society. Torah is to live as a mensch in this world. You have to recognize what's his is his, what's hers is hers, and it doesn't belong to you. And years ago, in MTJ, Masechta Teveris Yerushalayim, Rabbeim came to Moshe Feinstein. And they wanted to change Bachrim all over the world when they start Gemara. They almost all start with Maseches Bava Metzia. And they start with the second paragraph of Metzia, which is Eilu Metzias, which is when you walk down the street, Eilu Metzias Shalom, Eilu Chai V'Achras, when you find a lost object. These are things that don't have Samanim and you can pick them up and take them home. These are things you have to announce. Meaning what? You have to know what belongs to you and what doesn't belong to you. So Moshe said, you want to change and say, let's learn Brachas or Shabbos, something that's more practical. The reason why the minig has always been in yeshivas, and when boys start learning Gemara, why do they learn Bava Metzia? is when a young boy starts learning Gemara in 5th or 6th grade. What does the Rebbe do? He repeats the Gemara to them 10, 20, 30, 40 times. They memorize it and it sinks into their bones. You know what message Rav Moshe says God wants to sink into their bones? That what's Reuven's is Reuven's, what's Shimon's is Shimon's. Preserve society. Don't be jealous of someone else's thing. And know that what's yours is yours. You'll get what you're supposed to get. And what you don't get, that doesn't belong to you. A famous maestro of El Yolopian, when he was a youngster, he found money in the streets, let's say the equivalent of a $50 bill. And he ran home to his mother all excited. Yes, Mom, look what I found, a $50 bill, $50 richer. She says, why are you so happy? What about the other person who lost it? He's now $50 poor. We're all thinking about ourselves. What about thinking about the other person? Ibn Ezra says, where does jealousy come from? And we're looking around at everybody else instead of saying, I have my own unique relationship with God, and what's his is his, and what's mine is mine. It's out of my dalanamas. It's not on my radar screen. I have no shaykhs to it. And that is the idea of knowing whose belongings belong to whom. And this pasuk is now more encompassing. And the Midrash tells us as follows. Midrash tells us in the Midrash Tanchuma Parshas Bamidbar, we have a Mishnah Perkei Avos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Vav. What's the last of the Mem Ches Kenyanei Torah, the 48 ways of wisdom? HaOmer Dover B'Shem Omro. And what does the Mishnah say? It's a Gemara Megillah as well. Kol HaOmer Dover B'Shem Omro, Mevi Geula Liyola. And the secret to bringing the Geula is what? Is when you hear something, quote the person who told you that statement. What's going on over here? It's such a big thing. That brings Geula to the world. What's Pshat? So the Maral Miprag explains as follows. He says, you know what the Geula is? The Geula is, this is why I think it also follows on the whole idea of putting your bitachon in Hashem. The Geula says that I know where my Geula is going to come from. I know the only one who could take us out of this Geula. It's not because we have President Trump in office, even declaring Jerusalem the capital. It's not because we do A, B, or C. There's only one thing that's going to get us out of this Geula, and that's davening to Hashem and doing the right thing. And then Hashem is going to take us out of this Geula, if and when He decides to do so. Letting Hashem know, we're putting our bitachon on you. We're not putting our bitachon on the President of the United States. We're not putting the bitachon on our own personal nishtalus. We attribute our greatness and power to the right address. If somebody tells you a vart, and the Magen Avraham says this pasuk also means you're not allowed to steal a Dvar Torah from anybody else. Someone tells you a Dvar Torah, and then you make it yours, and you're stealing. That's a doll. That's an impoverished person. You're taking something that belonged to them, and you're now making it yours. That's why the Magen Avraham says, what do you mean don't steal from a poor person? What's there to steal from a poor person? He doesn't have anything to steal. That means what? You're stealing his knowledge. The poor person, you're taking his knowledge, you're taking his ideas. I've heard from a person who was once in my home that he had a great idea, had to do with FedEx and UPS. He had this idea, told it over to somebody in his office once, and the person in his office went out, developed an idea, became a millionaire, and he never gave him any credit for it. People steal ideas. That's included in Al Tigzal Dal. Kidal, don't take advantage of it. So that's the Midrash Tanchuma. Someone who's Omer Dover B'Shem Omer means if somebody told me something, I'm going to attribute it to its rightful source. That means I recognize what comes from me and what doesn't come from me. And therefore, I'm not going to steal anything. So that brings the goal of the Lama. Tomer Esther B'Shem Mordechai. Esther says, I don't want credit for it. Mordechai gets credit for it. Maral explains, only someone who lives life, always giving credit where credit's due, is someone who recognizes that whatever happens in life, it's all because of Hashem. And nothing would happen if Hashem wasn't orchestrating the $613 check. Oh, it's because I sent Parzamon. And you say Parzamon caused Hashem to get involved and send you that $613 check. But it's all from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ein adam nokeif afilu etzva katana shelo. Elam kein machriz in olam alamal. Writes the Gemara in Chulin Daf Zayin. Nobody's pinky will be lifted up in the air without Hashem agreeing for such to be the case. That's why this is all captured. How do you make it real? Real living is what's mine is mine. What's not mine is not mine. And recognizing everything comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So interpretation number one, don't steal from a poor person. Ki da'alu vein l'koch l'amen egechon, that's Rashi. Don't take advantage of that poor person. Ibn Ezra understands. And no, don't steal from a poor person. Why ki da'alu? V'yisatsar b'daluso al-kein al-tegazleo. Who's going to suffer more pain? A rich person who has many cars, many articles of clothing, many earrings. You steal an earring from a rich person, and there still is an issue of stealing. But they're not going to be feeling as much pain as the ani. All the ani has is that last remaining meal in his refrigerator and you stole that, he's going to be suffering far much more pain. And Rav Sadia Gaon writes in this week's Parsha, in his Perush al Torah, writes Rav Sadia Gaon al Torah, although Signov, thank you very much. Yes, I was out of water. Imaim al Torah, thank you. So that will be a type of stealing. That could also be stealing someone's sleep. Gezel Shein isn't sleep. Stealing someone's das. It's usher to go into someone else's diary, into someone else's notebooks. That's stealing their das. You know, let us steal their das. And let's say somebody bought you a birthday present, a brand new cashmere sweater. And you already have that sweater. So you know what we do? You turn around to a friend of yours and say, "Ah, look what I got you. Look at this." That's going to name as das. They're going to like you better because you got them a cashmere sweater, but you didn't get them the cashmere sweater. Somebody else got it for you, and now it was extra. You didn't need it. That's a shaylik and amos das. You can't do that.
You can re-gift.
You can re-gift. Chosin kalas, I get a lot of challah knives in mezuzah cases, and you can re-give a gift. Things that say what? I'm giving you a gift, something that I had extra. But if you were not planning, meaning what? Chosin kalas can re-gift when you go to a chasana. Of course you can re-give. You got an extra thing. You have an extra thing at home. Of course you could do that. Meaning what? Let's say your friend has a birthday and you got something extra and you want to go and give it. And this is turning around. You weren't planning on giving your friend a gift. There was nothing that warranted your friend to get the gift. The only reason you're giving the friend the gift now is because this person just bought you the extra. That's going to have his das. Meaning when there's a birthday and I'm giving a gift, sure, if I don't have to go out to the store because I have an extra one, I'm giving you an extra one. It's saving me the time and money. This is, you're basically saying, I just thought of you today. Here's a cashmere sweater. Here's a chocolate bar, right? Somebody gave you a chocolate. I had the shot. Remember once somebody bought us something that it was a shiloh on the kashrus, on the hashgacha, of a big platter, whatever the case was. So we turned around to one of the nurses, one of our son's nurses, and I'm not allowed to say, Cassandra, look what we got you. It was $100. Cassandra, we like you, right? But we don't like you that much. And we don't just turn around on a random Tuesday and give a nurse $100. You know, if it was New Year's time, we give a New Year's. So of course, a New Year's, you could say, I'm saving this thing to give as a New Year's gift. But to turn around and say, oh, Cassandra, look what I got you. Cassandra, that's going to give us dust. That's stealing him dust.
What did you say?
I said, Cassandra, we got this food and we don't know that we can rely on the, explained what it means, kosher.
Right.
We don't know if it's sure kosher, but you know. Would you take it? Sure.
What about perm?
She was fine to take it.
perm, you get, I've seen homes where I've been visiting.
Yes, assembly line. They come in and they go out the other 100%. 100%. Again, that's not Geneva's Das. There's no Geneva's Das when there's an umdana that's what everybody does. And Ramosha even says, Halacha Maisa, Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, that if you walk into a butcher store, says it's Geneva's Das for the butcher to take the livers and put them in the blood and make them look like they're fresh. But he says it's not Geneva's Das when we know that that's what all the butchers are doing. They're always putting it to make it look fresh. If you ask them, how old is this liver, they're obligated to tell you. It's 1 day old, it's 2 days old, it's 3 days old. But since they have to tell you, the Emes HaMoshe says, it's not Geneva's Das. Why? Because that's what butchers do. Everybody knows they're going to do their best to make the meat look as fresh as possible. What's Geneva's Das? When you're selling someone a used car and it's got scratches all over it, and you just take some basic red paint and you go over it to make that, and you cover it over, and you know that when the rains come and the scratch is going to, that's Geneva's Das. It's Geneva's Das. Let's say you buy someone a gift, and it's from a secondhand store, and you send it to the dry cleaners, and now you sell it on eBay and say, oh, new, it's new, it's not new. You went and took it to the dry cleaners, and you're selling it as well. It's Geneva's Das, stealing a person's Das. Then you can't do so. The Mogen Avraham says, based on this posuk, Al tigzal dal, don't steal the das. A poor person sometimes all he has is his das. He doesn't have possessions. So this posuk is coming to say, don't steal the das, don't steal their ideas, their information, and attribute things to the rightful source. That's what Esther did, and that's why she bought the gula. And that the Maral says, how do we bring the gula? We recognize whatever happens, it's happening from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not because of Kochi Votzim Yodi, Osali Sachai Azeh. That's all because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All these interpretations are included. And the Medrash Tanchuma adds that even withholding money, because the Medrash Tanchuma is also bothered. What do you mean don't steal from a poor person? What does that poor person own? And no, don't withhold money that rightfully belongs to that poor person. People who are waiting for that money, and make sure to pay them on time. But basically, again, you got to live by the principles. No cheating on taxes. We got to live by the veracity of the Torah itself. And if you victimize the more vulnerable amongst us, and with this pasuk we close, Ki Hashem Yariv Rivam. Hashem, the Midas HaRachamim, will fight their battles. You think you're going to vanquish. You're going to overcome and overpower this poor person. Just know, and Chazal tells us this repeatedly, Hashem always takes the sides of the victims. Always takes the sides of people, the Yosom, the Amana, Hashem will be, Yariv Rivam, will fight their battles for them, V'kova es Koveyam Nafesh, and Hashem will steal, Koveya is a Lashon of steal, Rashi says, goes Leha, Lashon Rami Kvi is Gezela, V'kova, it will steal the soul of those who steal the soul from them. Their ideas, that is their neshama, their thoughts, their chiyushe Torah, that is their idea. And when you steal the thoughts from them, you're stealing their soul. You're stealing from them what really is belonging to them. I perhaps mentioned the story in the past, but it's a true story of Rav Mordechai Benet. Mordechai Benet was one of the Gedolei Hador back in the 1800s in Europe. And Mordechai Benet once got up at a big assembly at a big kenes, and he said over Dvar Torah. Somebody in the audience heard the Dvar Torah, loved it so much, and for years he kept saying over the same Dvar Torah. But after a while, when you don't say, I heard it from a Mordechai Benet, and you love the Dvar Torah, what happens? You start making it yours, and you think it's your own. And for 25 years, he made the board his own. 25 years later, a Mordechai Benet gets up in another assembly, and how many people can remember the Vart from 25 years ago? And he gets up and he says the same Vart, and this Yid screams out, Rabbi, that's my Vart, you stole it from me. And it was just the other way around. And Mordechai Benet, in his anibus, he says, okay, I'm sorry. And he sat down. He wasn't going to embarrass that person to say, you stole it from me. But he knew it was the Vart. There was a maisa with Rav Chatzkel Abramsky who went to visit Rav Gustman. When Rav Shaul Zev Gustman came to Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Chatzkel Abramsky came to visit him, both of them Gedolei Yisrael in their own right, huge Talmidei Chachamim. And Rav Chatzkel Abramsky was talking and learning with Rav Gustman. And he says, oh, I want to share with you the following Chiddush. And Rav Gustman listened attentively and he says, perhaps you got that from this in the Sefer. And he says, oh yeah, you're right. He says, I'm the Machaber of that Sefer. He had seen the Vart and he forgot what Sefer. And he says, oh, you're right, you're right. That's where I saw it. And that you can't go and steal. You steal the ideas, the Torah, because that's what matters so much. Ad kedei kach, there are tshuvas written when we talk about on Shabbos, what are you allowed to be matzah min hadaleika? Big shayla, Hilcha Shabbos, if there's a fire, Rachman, it's on in the house, and it's a place where there's no air, what are you allowed to go ahead and carry outside? And the post can even talk about that if you have a Talmid Chacham's personal Chiddushei Torah, since a Talmid Chacham, that matters to him more than any of his svarim, his own Chiddushei Torah that he worked years diligently on, they could get into sink into utter depression if they think they're going to lose, because that's who they are. You are your thoughts. You are your ideas, and that's why it bothers you. So the one, I once had a relative who came over and said, oh, I got to tell you the Shtik HaTorah. And they told over Shtik HaTorah that I had told to them a few weeks before. So I said, yeah, I tried in a nice way, you know, the whole life. But that's what a person loves. That's who you are, your thoughts, your ideas. That's why what would bother you more? If somebody goes into your diary and steals your thoughts, that can cause you a lot more agmas nefesh than just stealing a material good in possession. We'll just close with the following. The Vilna Gaon says, where else do we find the word kava? Shabbos, the bottom of 31a. When we get up to Shemayim, God's going to ask us 6 questions to start the Din Torah. And what is one of the first questions God asks us? Kava to eat in the Torah. Were you kava eat in the Torah? So what does that mean? Likavo is to establish, to set. Did you set fixed times for Torah study? Writes the Vilna Gaon, no. Vilna Gaon says, we see kaveya means what? To steal. Kaveya, Rashi says, goes leblosh and rami kviyas gezela. Hashem says, if you value Torah, did you look to steal time? Did you look to say, did I steal 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there? We are always looking, can I have a shir? Can I have this? Can I download from Torah anytime? Can I have another 5 minutes? Rav Zelig Gribe Mengis wants me to see my shas, and he made a big siyam, and they asked him, Rav Mengis, you finished shas so many times, why are you making such a big deal out of it? He says, because this siyam is the most precious to me. This siyam is from the 5 minutes waiting online line for the bus. This is for the 10 minutes waiting in line for there. This is for the 5 minutes waiting for there. It took me many years to finish Shas this way. But he had a Seder in Shas just from the 5, the 10 minutes waiting. Do we steal that time? Do we make it valuable? What happens when we get into the car? Are we just wasting the time away? Are we looking, can I hop another shir? Can I hop another Dvar Torah? Be kaveit in the Torah, the Vilna Gaon says, the ones who truly view the preciousness of the words of Torah, they're always looking to steal. Another moment, another vart. An amazing day and a great rest of the weekend.
Rabbi, Rabbi,
yes.
Can I ask you one question?
Yes.
When you say not to look in somebody's diary, what happens if...
Right, that's a different story. When the person's not alive anymore, and you don't think, as long as you're getting a sense that there's nothing personal that he would be a